From the favela or slum to the mansion to the refugee camp, what are the essentials of affection?
That's Christian psychologist Dr. Brent Lindquist, and he'll be sharing what he's learned from his years of counseling married couples on today's Member Care Media. When someone talks about affection, what comes to your mind? How does it describe the various aspects of your relationships, your marriage? There are so many important ingredients that can make our relationships exciting or challenging, maybe even boring. But Dr. Brent Lindquist, president of Linkcare Center in Fresno, California, is with me today, and he's been thinking about the various ingredients that fall under the heading of affection. In fact, today's program is just one part of a series of four programs on affection, so here is Brent to share what he's observed in his many years of counseling couples.
Hello again. Today, we start a new series for the month. Four programs on the essentials of affection. What? Why not love? Well, I'm going to be up to my old tricks in looking at issues from maybe a different angle than you would normally expect. And maybe I can help you identify new ways to look at affection and love in your significant relationships. This arose out of my experience a year ago, almost exactly, when asked to teach, and not just speak, on South Asian marriages. Great. I don't know anything about them. My group was mixed nationalities. About half were nationals, and most of them were married. And most of those marriages were arranged, not by their parents, but by the organization. So what did I do? Well, this is what I did. I don't know if this is the best way to manage this or not, but I turned it back to them. I got up and expressed my complete ignorance and asked them to help me before I could help them. I divided them into small groups and I said, discuss for an hour what the critical components of marriage from your perspective are. Now, it's interesting that about half of the people were people like me, European, North American, Australian, and the like, and the other half were national groups within this country. A lot of stuff came back. Things like, in our marriages, there is a strong sense of hierarchy. The husband is in the leadership role. There's a strong responsibility to extended family and family. In other words, you have to take care of each other. There were strict roles, and there were arranged marriages. And there were some American ideas pushed in, too, like boundaries. Now, I'm not against boundaries. Not at all. I think that the book series is excellent, and we need to understand that. But it was very interesting to me as I pushed this group a little bit about could there be the same kind of boundaries? And I gave the nationals a lot of flexibility in helping the non-nationals like me understand how boundaries would and wouldn't work. For example, most of the national marriages were very poor. There was no money to support or limited support, at least by our standards. And most of them lived with little privacy. They lived as guests in homes of strangers, some of whom were not particularly friendly to them. And often they had just one or two rooms with multiple families involved. This made it very difficult to have boundaries in our typical sense. We decided that we couldn't really decide all the things, but what we could do was to recognize that they had to figure out boundaries in their own ways. What was private for them and what created boundaries for them might not be anything like people like me would have appreciated. So, what are the essentials of affection? I have four. I have a four-part series, so I have four. Like, love, commitment, and care, but not necessarily in that order in real life. I think relationships start with like, or at least a readiness to like in arranged marriages. So what is like? I define like here as interest in, affirmation of, and enjoyment of another person. This is a discovery process. Do we share the same interests, for example? Can we learn from each other? Can or do we influence each other? Like is very much a process and not a state. And like is more often than not a building block for love. It is present in every relationship. And in some, it grows into love. I know of many more couples who grew together in like rather than those who instantaneously fell in love. I think one of the great disservices that my culture gives to marriage is this worship of romance. Now, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't mind romance, and I probably have some romance, but that is not the final goal, I think, of marriage. I think there is more to it, and I hope you'll understand as we get going. So let's look at your current state of like. Are you in like with your spouse? If you're single, how are your like relationships? How do you make like grow? Well, here's what I see as the significant components: time, interest, support, encouragement, and commitment. I'm going to talk a lot about commitment later, but I think like grows in relationships and where time is set aside for familiarity to breed like, not contempt. It also grows where there is a shared interest. It also grows where there is support and encouragement. This month, at this point, my daughter's getting married, and it's been interesting to watch her over the last 3 or 4 years grow from, here's this guy that I spend time with, here's one of my friends, he's one of the group, to, oh, we're kind of hanging out more together now, to a growing sense of commitment to each other. And it's been fun to see like blossom to love, and then to grow into this desire to get married. I have some homework that I want you to do. Of course, I usually do come up with some homework. And that I'd like you to make a list of your key issues in like. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm interested in seeing how what's important in like for you are met by your spouse and those around you. Then I want you to do something important. I want you to talk to them about like and what it means to you and to them. Might be kind of funny, might make you feel foolish, but you have to admit, if you've listened to others of my programs, that I often aim for foolish because that's where we don't like to be, and I think that's where we learn the most about who we are. So as you talk with people around you, particularly your spouse, find out what likes are and how you're nourishing like. I don't want to get into a big discussion about the differences between like and love, and you may find that you can't separate those. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I only separate them because I only have a few minutes to talk with you in each program, so I have to break things down. But as you struggle with discussing like, I'd like to hear, or I'd like you to hear, how your spouse perceives you liking them, and how you perceive them liking you. Now, some of you may have some painful things that arise out of this. I hope not, but I've talked to a lot of people who are struggling, and like is not part of their relationship. They talk about being embarrassed about or by their spouse, and they talk about a lot of dislike. And if that's where you are, well, then maybe you need to get some help from a trusted confidant, other friends, other relationships, counseling, whatever. But I'm going to assume that most of us have a reasonable degree of like in our relationships, and I just want to celebrate like right now and have you look at that. How do you express like to your spouse, and how does your spouse express like back to you? Share that both ways. See if there is some complementarity there. I think that's enough. That's a pretty big thing that I think you can do. And I hope it goes well, and I hope you learn something, and I hope you have fun with it too. Talk to you next time.
That's Christian psychologist Dr. Brent Lindquist, president of Link Care Center in Fresno, California. I think most of us take our mates for granted in this area of like. I mean, every 20 or 30 times I tell my wife I love her, I probably only now and then say, I really like you. And I think there's a difference. Do you suppose it's because we feel a little silly saying those words? We really shouldn't. I so often think to myself, wow, Denny, how did you ever win the affection of such a marvelous woman? I really love this lady I've lived with for over a half a century, but I like her too, probably because she takes good care of me, and she responds when I do little things for her as well. For one thing, she designs and sends very creative birthday cards to all of her friends and to me. She builds them around pictures she keeps in her incredibly large collection of pictures. She labors over just the right verses or poems that bring to life her feelings for that person. Sometimes it's about like, sometimes about appreciation, and sometimes it's about love. But Brent will be talking about love in part two of this series on appreciation, so be sure to be listening. I missed you so much I was really hurting. I wasn't shedding tears, but my eyes kept squirting. I missed you so much, but not completely, from the top of my head down to my feetly. I missed you so much, my heart was breaking. I did so much missing, my misser was aching. I missed you so much, but not anymore. Welcome home, my dear. You're the one I adore. Now, more in the area of like are these verses. A friend gives hope when life is low. A friend is a place where you can go. A friend is honest. A friend is true. A friend is precious. And my friend is you.
This has been a presentation of Member Care Media. We invite you to explore our website, where we offer audio features and resources for you and your entire family. We also have links to other websites that can provide further answers and resources to meet your needs. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.